At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hey, everybody. It's Devin.
And Kate, 100-year-old Kate.
Welcome to 100.
Woo!
Are you kidding me?
No. Yeah.
How did we get here?
I don't know. I want to cry a little bit. I can't believe this is 100. The 100th. I can't believe this is the
100th. You know what we're missing? What? You know when you see like TV shows celebrate episode 100 and yeah. They're like standing around a big cake?
Why don't we have a big cake?
I don't know.
I should have thought of that.
We have Jack, our pumpkin.
We do have our pumpkin. Hi, pumpkin. Our spooky pumpkin
Welcome.
Has joined us.
Holy crap. Here we are. We have sat here 100 times.
Can
you believe that?
I actually don't know what to say. Like I'm getting a little choked up because
holy crap.
Wow, what a journey. And like if you think of where we were at like our first few episodes versus now and like
I will never forget the fact that I said along for the ride like at least 5 times in the first episode that I was just along for the ride.
When I listened to episode 1, I don't even sound like myself because I was so excited. I was like up a couple of octaves, and it was so much.
We have started from
the bottom,
the other side of this wall.
We started from the bottom, and now we're here.
At a small table.
Yep.
And then we moved over to this side of the wall at that table, to then a set.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been sitting on clouds ever since we got our set.
Yes.
I mean, what a journey.
What a freaking journey. And like the thing, and it's also been like 4 years of time for us.
Oh my
and
gosh.
So much has changed for both of us like in these last 4 years. And I love listening back because you get to hear like little snippets of what was going on in our lives at that
oh,
like,
about,
point
like,
in time.
Oh, about like when our kids are babies.
Yes. Mm. So like our kids were so young back in the beginning. And I actually listened back to an older episode. I started to anyway. I didn't listen to what I was supposed to. But I was listening back to an older episode. And it was like back during that really bad snowstorm. And one of my vehicles had gotten crushed. And I was like, I remember how that. I can't believe that was like 2 years ago. And I just. What a freaking journey. And it's all because of you guys. And it's all...
Thank you so much for sticking with us.
We like, are still here
never did
you.
I think this ride
no.
was going to hit 100.
No.
I figured, oh, yeah, we'll do it a couple times. Shoot the shit.
And...
die out.
It'll die out. And here we are. We kind of just,
incredible.
Like, can't stop because it's become this thing. And I feel like we would, you know, disappoint way too many people if we stopped. And that would be a drag.
So, speaking of not wanting to disappoint other people... Episode 100 is also coming with a big announcement.
Sure is.
Brought to you by Kate and Devin is Med Crimes Podcast Weekly.
Woo!
Whoa!
You guys asked, and now you're finally receiving, and we're figuring it out, and we're just
going to
make it happen.
We are committing weekly.
Weekly!
For the rest of season 4.
For the rest of our lives! Oh, maybe season 4.
Right. We are committing to weekly for the rest of season 4.
Feeling very overzealous.
And right then
now.
we will probably continue into 5.
Yep.
With a little bit of a twist.
Yeah.
As like a Patreon special potentially.
That's right. Yeah.
So stay tuned for more.
Yeah,
but
we're in beta testing right now.
Until
guys.
Fucking Thanksgiving, you get to hear us every week
every
for the next
week.
2 months.
Won't that be fun?
Holy crap.
I actually
How are
can't
we gonna
wait.
Do this? First
we can worry about
we
that another
this.
Day. We're just gonna sit down here and trauma dump all over each other and just like we usually do.
Just twice as much.
Twice as much.
I need to start drinking.
I know. Me
it's
too.
Fine. I love it. So that is our gift to you. Thank you for supporting us through 100 episodes and listening to us babble, listening to our giggles, listening to our sniffles.
Yes, my God.
Listening to our poor audio quality in episode one, all the way up and through to our last episode, which I have to say was our best audio yet.
For sure.
Oh my gosh.
Go us, baby.
So I hope you all know that like we are still putting everything that we have into the show.
Oh yeah. Things are constantly evolving.
Trying to make it the best we
exactly.
can.
Constantly evolving, constantly learning. Things are constantly changing. We're constantly workshopping new programs, new plugins, new this, new that.
Innovation.
Yes. So please know that there is ongoing behind the scenes effort to make this the best that it can
be.
And I'm a nurse practitioner. I'm not like an audio engineer. I am learning this from scratch. And it turns out there's a fuck ton to it. So I'm over here just doing my best.
Yep.
So please be patient with me. I am from the 1900s also. So I'm getting old. And so I'm trying. I'm over here trying.
You've been trying hard.
You have too.
And you've been succeeding.
My God, you too.
You've been succeeding.
I love growth.
Oh,
we have grown.
The job changes.
I know.
That you and I have been through.
Yes.
Since.
Yes.
I mean.
I know.
We were not coworkers.
No. And then
when
we were.
When this first started.
Now we're not again.
And we were. Yay. I think I'm on my third job.
Yikes.
Since we first started.
Wow. I'm on my second. So.
I had my longtime job.
Mm-hmm. You
then
did.
I did the director of nursing thing for a little bit.
You
a
did.
Stint.
Yep, you did.
And now the dream job for myself.
Yeah.
Look at this. Look
I
at
know.
Us grow.
I know. I was doing, I was working as a hospitalist with a hospitalist group that was wonderful. And I still stay in touch with them. They're all just such wonderful human beings. And now I work in long-term care, which has allowed me to spend a lot more time with my family during the weekends.
Your schedule has changed.
It has
so
changed.
Much.
Yep. So no more. I mean, my life has just gotten so busy, not just with the podcast, but with the kids getting older. And
your kids would probably not be nearly as much if you still had a job.
No, that's the thing. And like, if there are any other hockey parents out there or tackle football parents or
my Scott's son just scored a touchdown tonight.
Wow, little buddy.
Flag football.
I am so proud of him. So everybody knows like the time commitment that comes with like the travel sports teams. It is so much from a time perspective.
Well, and hockey is such a long season.
Oh my God.
And I just saw your kid's bag upstairs.
Oh yeah.
That's
just
shit
the one.
Is huge.
That's the one. And that's a kid. That's a youth hockey bag.
No wonder why you need a big car.
I know.
You ain't putting a bike in it. You're putting a hockey bag
in
it.
And then my son is a goalie, which is an entire new layer of expensive and bulky equipment. So, I mean, it's just... I'm sorry, we're kind of tangenting here.
Well, I think the point is that
we're reflecting, okay?
We're reflecting. All of episode 100 is reflection.
Yes.
Because as we announced a few weeks ago, this episode tonight... is counting down our top 10 biggest stories that you guys voted on.
Yes, and we
for
asked
out of our
that,
100 episodes.
We asked for that from our Patreons, and you guys fucking delivered. Like, what a great group of episodes.
And I gotta say, number one surprised me.
Actually, me too. I had it in my head that it was gonna be something else.
We all knew what we thought it was gonna be. Even I knew. And hello. But still,
we were wrong. We were wrong.
It
did make the top couple.
But,
it did make
but
the top
of course,
couple.
Once we got like once it started coming in, I'm like, you know, it makes sense.
It does. Yeah, that one.
It does. And thank you for surprising us, Patreon.
I know you guys never cease to just pull it out, man. You guys are the freaking best.
A lot of the stories from our whole top 10 really surprised me.
Oh yeah, me too.
You
actually,
know?
Yeah. And it was, you know, again, we so appreciate you guys' input, and we so appreciate. You guys just being here listening and just
so
you know,
just
anything.
Sit back, relax,
giggle.
Our feet are up.
They are.
Grab your apple cider donuts.
Oh, you great! You light that fucking candle.
Feed your Santas.
Feed the Santa. You twinkle that light.
Enjoy the ride
twinkle
that we're along
lights.
For.
Hell yeah! Oh yeah! We are along for this ride, number 100.
We are gonna count down.
Devin
our top 10.
Devin is still along for the ride.
And we're just gonna spend a few minutes talking about each of them and the highs and lows of what each of those stories entailed.
That's right.
But before we do that, we have a very special Patreon who just decided to time it so right.
She
so that
or
she could
you,
be the
or he
only
or they.
Patreon for tonight's episode. on episode 100.
And this person is going to have their moment right now. And this person's name is, I shit you not, Fabulous Brown.
And I love that.
Me too. I'm screaming over here.
If there's
ever a
stage name, I mean, Fabulous Brown it is.
Sign me up for that.
Done.
Yeah. And also, I've decided in light of spooky season that you are a crunchy, nature-y, beautiful, mysterious, and powerful witch.
Autumnal. Autumn witch.
But not like a ugly, warty green witch.
No.
But more like a elemental, right? Somebody who just like walks barefoot in the woods and looks for pretty leaves and lights candles and has fucking crystals and shit. Like one of those awesome, cool girl witches that I'm jealous of. Okay?
Okay.
That's where we're at. Anyway, thank you, Fabulous Brown.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So we are going
to... Do you want me to find out when it was or no?
No, that's all right.
All right. We won't do that shit.
Fuck it. All right, guys.
Side convo, delete. Are you picking me up, AI?
Yeah. Oh, it will. This shit's fucking sophisticated as hell. All right, so let's start out with number 10.
Ba-dum-bum!
And we're going to count down to number one. Number 10 is our series on Dr. Marcel Petiot, a.k.a. Dr. Seton.
Dr. Seton.
You know what? The first thing that I think about with this series.
You want to know mine? Can I
interrupt
first?
Hospice Nurse Allie.
Oh, my God. Was she on? She was on part three, right? Because it was a
part
third
four.
Part four?
Yes.
Was it a four-parter?
Yes.
Oh, Hospice Nurse Allie. God, that was so long ago.
I know. And I love her so much.
Our one and only guest star.
She listens to every fucking episode because she posts everything. Oh, my God. We love you so much.
Hospice Nurse Allie thinks I'm fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
By the way.
She's correct because Devin is hilarious. Let's all talk about that.
You know what I think about during this story?
Go.
I'm pretty sure I remember sitting at this table before the set, listening to Marcel Petiot and going, I was able to bring myself back to the time period of World War II, France, correct?
Yes.
By that book that I had read.
That's right, The Nightingale.
The book that I have said you must read and you've yet to read. You purchased, what, 8 months ago?
I did.
And you've not...
I'm sorry. I
know. Anyone out there agree that Kate needs to just do this?
No, I do. Like, it's a pressing issue. My problem is I'm very into reading series right now as opposed to standalone books, and it's hard for me to break away from my habit, but before the end of this year, I will have this read for you, and I pledge that to... all of you guys.
So season 5 opener, we will determine.
We will discuss
if Kate read The Nightingale during our break. Take note of that.
I better not forget about this conversation because
it'll bite me in the ass. So Petiot was during World War II in France.
World War II in France, and this was a guy who was raised in like this modest family, and he just escalated so quickly and kind of out of nowhere, and he kind of shat his way through medical school. You know what I mean? Like he went, and
he was the guy that had the infirmaries. Didn't he have the infirmaries in his homes? What was it?
So he did. Yeah. So he had an office in his home. Like he worked in Paris and outside of Paris and other smaller communities around France. And he was like a fraudster and a con artist from day one in everything that he did. So like he began with like scamming people out of like government benefits, and he would like bill people for visits that they didn't have, and then like there was mysterious deaths that would happen. Like he was suspected of killing his first girlfriend who was pregnant at the time. Do you remember that? Like way before any of the notorious Paris like the Paris like murder house was discovered. Her body was found like dismembered in a trunk floating down the river.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
And then
we've done a few 2 to 3 parts.
Yes. This was the longest.
He's the only 4-part, right?
Yes. Yeah. I believe so.
Wow. That's like a 2-month.
I know.
Med crime span.
I know. That was a crazy, journey. Yeah.
On that one.
I know. That was brutal. That was quite the journey. And then he like burnt this guy's house down. Remember, he burnt this like family home down. And essentially what was happening was there was like the resistance and the Gestapo, right? like within the war that was happening. So like Germany had sort of invaded Paris and had like a military occupancy over the citizens of Paris. And he would advertise to Jews and other marginalized communities, hey, we were going to smuggle you guys out, pay us a sum, and we will smuggle you. Yep, grab all your belongings, smuggle. We're going to smuggle you out, and then they would never be seen again.
What a douche.
And they found that in this home in Paris that there was like this, like basically an autopsy table and like an incinerator. And what he, and there were piles and piles and piles of like lye and ash throughout his property that just had like innumerable skeletal remains. And he was convicted and then executed for his crimes.
I wonder why this bastard made it into the top 10.
The fucking nerve of this guy.
Marcel Petya.
He was kind of the worst. Like, he was literally, he was awful. He was an actual monster.
Yeah.
He just took advantage of everything. All the time.
Well, a guy who was not the worst is the subject of
What a segue.
Number nine. The beloved Andrew Bagby.
Okay.
And I say he's the beloved because he was the victim.
Can I, real quick, this is one I don't think about every case all of the time.
No.
But
you think
this
about this
guy,
one?
I think of him. He crosses my mind. His case, that whole situation crosses
my mind. You really should
watch
mind. This documentary.
I have. I
you
watched
did?
It.
Oh, you watched
yes.
it? Did you watch it after this?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did.
Ugh.
I hadn't seen a thing or heard anything until after, and I really wanted to watch it after part one, but I refrained because I didn't want to spoil it.
We had a cliffhanger.
Oh, my God. What a heartbreaking situation.
So this well-beloved doctor who was at the young part of his career, he was only a resident.
He was barely
was
into it.
In a toxic relationship with his girlfriend, Dr.
Also
Sheila,
a physician,
yes,
right.
Also
yeah.
a physician, Dr. Sheila Turner. It was a toxic, toxic relationship.
So bad.
It spanned it over two countries because it was, I still want to go here. Every time I think of Newfoundland and Labrador,
I
think of this story.
I know.
So when people talk about Newfoundland, Canada, I'm like, oh, Dr. Bagby.
I know, me too. Every time
so,
I hear that.
Yeah, and so it took place in this far remote area of Canada because it's such a remote area and very hard to get into and out of, which played into part of the story. But he was killed here in the United States by his girlfriend.
That's right.
And she then, you know, later found out while she was in and out of court for his arrest and whatnot that she was carrying his child.
Oh, my God. What
and
a
his sweet,
scenario.
Sweet, sweet parents had custody on and off, depending upon where his mother was in the court system and whatnot. There was a lot of things that happened with this because it was international, right? Between they had to extradite her for, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Try to get her across the country.
Yes.
She had the child. Different things were in and out. And the worst part about this whole thing for me, not what she did to Andrew, which was awful, but was the fact that she ended up killing herself and her child.
Oh, my God, how awful.
Baby Zachary, I believe his name was, in the ocean. Sedated herself and her child in the ocean.
It makes me, like, emotional
Absolutely.
Thinking about it.
It's I was actually surprised that this one made it into the top. Just
I'm
because
not.
It was such a big story, but just as far as the premise of what we do.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just, so it just surprised me because it was a different type of storyline. But
yeah.
Yeah, if any of you haven't seen the documentary, I think it was called Dear Zachary.
Yeah, Dear Zachary.
Amazon Prime. It was so, it was just,
it's phenomenal.
I mean, after doing my research and stuff, it just kind of put that personal twist to it.
Yeah.
And just
and like hearing
focused on
the
character
parents.
Of who Dr. Bagby was and whatnot. And his parents, oh, his beautiful parents.
Yeah, they were wonderful.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they were such great advocates, but
the court system and the Child Protective Services and whatnot, there was a lot of things that could have been better.
It was preventable.
Absolutely.
I think it was preventable, you know. And yeah, like I said, I still think about it to this day. Like every so often, it'll just like cross my mind. And I just think of, you know, how many other scenarios like that have unfolded when it was like equally preventable, you know, because it's just such a sad situation, sad story, and such a two young lives that were totally innocent that were cut way short, like between Andrew and his son, you know. And it's honestly, it's just
never
as sad what
him
happened
and
to Dr. Turner, Sheila Turner, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she obviously wasn't at a good place. And
no,
you know,
definitely was struggling with mental.
You know, she was struggling with a lot
most of these people are from our show.
Of course. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Number eight was another Devinism. I'm pretty sure I think this number eight was my very first Devinism.
No shit.
Because I remember actually.
Oh, you're right. It is.
I have changed the way I've done my research, as I'm sure you have mm-hmm. over the years. And I remember actually like printing things off from my computer mm-hmm. and handwriting on a piece of paper. Like I was like doing like a study thing. Like mm-hmm. now I type everything and whatnot. And it's all my thing. But I remember having my piece of paper.
Yes.
And just.
I know.
Oh my God, that took forever.
I know. I did the same thing my first few episodes.
But da-da-da, Dr. Thomas Hicks.
Ah, Thomas Hicks.
And we referenced him not that
recently.
Long ago. I think it was with Georgia Tan.
That, yeah,
you know,
we did.
So this story kind of gives me a combination of Georgia Tan from the social worker black market mm-hmm. baby adoption, also mixing in Donald Klein.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
he was the one who did this with like all his own sperm
yes.
and had all these babies. And
Dr.
Hicks basically did both.
That guy was gross.
Dr.
Yeah.
Hicks basically did
yeah,
both.
Yeah, he did. He's the worst. He's
and
awful.
And God, this went on for years. Mm-hmm. Black market baby adoptions. But after telling the parents that their child was stillborn.
Oh my God, how
I mean,
awful.
Hundreds of women, he said that their child had died. And really, they're just being brought out the back door and sold
and
for adoption.
Sold.
For money. And then it was found out. Then it was found out later on that these quote unquote Hicks babies, they were referenced as far as a Hicks baby because if they found out that they were adopted through that market.
Right.
They referenced these hundreds of people are known as Hicks babies. Mm-hmm. But then a couple of them actually stemmed to have a DNA connection to Dr. Thomas Hicks.
Right.
So, well, that was quite alarming.
Yes.
But man, this one had a lot of like... who's my daddy mm-hmm. kind of to it. You know what I mean? And then just it was really the first case that was just like the audacity of a blatant lie and
oh yeah,
gruesome. I mean, we've talked about a lot of different things that mm-hmm. have revolved around birth and
yes,
stillborn and
yep.
things like that.
And
but
human
that
trafficking,
was, but
child
that was
trafficking.
The first one.
And
that was way back season one.
Oh my God. And it's like these guys that do that stuff, like Donald Klein and Thomas Hicks, would, you know, they do this like act where they're, you know, using their own genetic material
yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
you know, they're thinking in the now and they're thinking about their profit margin and, mm-hmm. and, you know, how can I make more money? But it's like, there are still implications to this day. There are still people walking around that are like related to you and like your gene, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because you've done this and you've been a reproductive abuser, for lack of a better term.
Right.
And it's like a ripple effect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it just never really goes away because you can't ever get away from that.
I also think that this was the first episode. It's come across in many of our different episodes now, mm-hmm. but this was the first one. And we had discussed in detail the process of exhuming a body.
That's right. That's
because
how
they exhumed his son, I believe.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
For DNA testing,
uh-huh.
right? For
uh-huh.
mitochondrial DNA.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's how they were able to connect it to like figuring
yes.
out who someone's father was and,
yeah.
and whatnot. But yeah,
what
they that was
case.
that was the first time. I remember we went through that in detail about the court stuff, how you had to mm-hmm. go through that, the process of it. And we've talked about exhumation in a few different shows now, but
yeah.
that was the first one.
A lot of red tape. Yeah. And I didn't realize that, you know,
God.
But it makes sense. You know?
Our roots. These
I
are
know.
Our roots.
These are our roots, baby. All right. On to number seven.
Devin is seven.
Devin.
I'm seven. In heaven.
Devin's in heaven.
Number
right.
seven.
Number
Take
seven.
It away, Mama.
Jolly Jane Toppin.
Oh, Jolly Jane.
Oh, Jolly Jane.
She's not so jolly.
No, she sucks. Do you... What the big thing that stuck out?
I have a vague recollection of this one. It was
okay.
definitely a series, three-parter. Yep.
So she grew up like as she was she immigrated from Ireland, I believe, to the U.S. in like the
which I've been to now.
Or 30s.
I hadn't been there when the show started.
So now you
wow.
know.
I'm
Bam.
A world traveler.
Journeys, baby.
Continue.
So she ended up living as an indentured servant to this really wealthy family.
She's
and like
the one that killed the family, right?
Yeah. Yes. In like Lowell, Massachusetts. I remember that too. They were local.
Down the road.
And so she like grew up and was only ever jealous of like her wealthy acquaintances and her sister, like in the house. Like she literally lived, who she ended up poisoning and killing. And she went to school for nursing, was in this great program, got kicked out because she was like misbehaving and being a douchebag. But she still worked as a live-in nurse and started like really bumping elbows with high society people and wanted essentially to like take over their estates, right? Mm-hmm. So she started drugging people with morphine and essentially putting them to sleep and then playing around with different like benzos that were available and things like I think atropine was one of them that she used to like slow people's heart rates and stuff or speed
and
up people's heart rates, excuse me.
For some reason, was it Mitzi?
Minnie.
Minnie. There was like one survivor left from the family, right? Yeah. Was it Minnie or was that one of the victims, you think?
No, you're right. I think she was the only survivor.
There was like one left out
and
of the whole family.
She only barely survived, I think. Yeah. And she like systematically went through family member by family member, killing like the daughters, both parents, and then like was working on the sister-in-law or something like that and had almost killed her when she got found out.
And by the way, everyone, we are dueling this right now solely from memory.
You're welcome.
So we are like trying to like dig back. So if we're like, wait, didn't it, like we don't have our notes in front of us.
No,
we are
don't.
Doing this just like brief recap.
We are just vibing.
If we mistaken, like, what was their name again?
Yeah, sorry.
We apologize. But hey, that's part of the fun is like trying to go back into our memory.
Yeah, trying to go back and like figure it out. And what was so shocking with her too is that like at the time, nursing was such a trusted profession. And I remember about this episode going into like when you're part of a really elite nursing program, like she was going to Mass General Nursing Program, I believe, when they had a nursing program.
Right.
And there were like behavioral expectations that you had to live by even outside of work. Do you remember talking about that?
I think so.
Where like you couldn't smoke, you couldn't drink, you couldn't be out after a certain time. Like you had to live by this like set of moral criteria.
Not just during your 12-hour shift.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So now it's just funny to think like how much things have changed, you know? But nurses were like so trusted that that's how she like just did what she did and nobody really suspected her, you know, for the longest time. And it's
except
wild.
For Minnie.
Except for that Minnie.
She had a suspicion for
sure. Yeah, she did. Yep. Crazy.
Number six. This one was one of Kate's. Was the Tylenol murders.
Oh, this one I actually love. I love this
Can
one.
I just say, spoiler alert. I mean, go back and listen to it, people.
Please.
But I am, the thing that gets me the most with this is I am just baffled that they have still had nobody.
Isn't that insane?
That it's still unsolved.
To be clear, they have a guy they think
but again, he's roaming free.
They could never, he died.
Oh, he was roaming free.
He was until he dropped out of a PE, I believe it was, or something, some cardiac thing.
Well, that they never convicted anybody.
No, they didn't. They could never prove it.
It was absolutely insane. And you and I were babies, if born at all during this time. I mean, it was definitely in the 80s. But I know, like, after, like, my mom, for example, listened to that episode and was just like, I remember all that time. Everybody was panicking and, like, the mass hysteria that this created.
Yes.
And we lost, what, seven people?
It was seven
in a short amount of time? Like, within a day?
Within, like, 48 hours
so
or
could
something
you imagine
crazy.
If that one nurse had not connected it to a bottle of Tylenol?
Oh, my God. She's a hero, baby. And the almond thing, the smell of almonds.
I was going to say that only like, what, 50% of the people, population
what
can
are the
smell.
Odds? Yes.
So you just happen to have someone who could smell it because you had seven people in this one area in a day. If this went on for several days before there was any kind of connection, like the hundreds of people that could have died.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
because,
insane.
I mean, that shit was everywhere.
It really
it's
was.
Fucking Tylenol.
And the hoops that they all jumped through trying to find, like, where this was coming from. What level is this at the manufacturer level? Is this somebody at the stores who's
Correct.
Swapping bottles?
Yes.
And
friggin' Johnson & Johnson was
Johnson
took
& Johnson
the ringer.
Was yeah. had pulled all of the Tylenol from the shelves at one point. It was like, just nobody sell anything. Because there were copycats fucking shit up, too.
Right.
That Oh my God, what a scenario.
So now, folks, when you're trying to take your Tylenol and you buy some at the store and you have to take the glue off the box, and then you have to try to do the plastic off the bottle, then open it up, and then take the seal off the top that you're trying to stab, and then pull out the cotton, there are reasons.
Yes.
Is to make sure that that shit's not filled with cyanide.
It changed a lot for the FDA, and not just for drugs, but for food products, because I remember that saying that I was reading articles that said, like, prior to this, you could go to a grocery store and open a tub of like peanut butter and just like stick your finger in it and take a bite. There was no seals on like jar lids and stuff like that. And this changed not only that, but like, but everything with the FDA.
Everything that your ketchup.
Yes.
Everything's got a seal on it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was really crazy to learn about. And like, I remember, God, it breaks my heart that one of those victims was so young. She was like 11, like 10 or 11, that girl, the one that died
one
first.
Of them was,
because she took a Tylenol because she was feeling unwell. And then like that father of two young kids, like same thing. He took a couple Tylenol and was dead like minutes later.
Right.
And then, oh my gosh, and then it was the family.
There was some in the family.
That all took Tylenol because they were mourning the death of their person that had happened. Oh my gosh, what a
at least
calamity.
There was at least two of them, if not three, in
that
one family.
There were three, I think.
Yeah.
Which is
absolutely
wild.
Insane. Absolutely insane.
Absolutely crazy.
That's crazy. I
mean, and the impact it had on Halloween that year. Do you remember?
Oh, God.
Because I remember as a kid being like, have your parents check your candy and make sure all the wrappers are intact.
And
that's what this came from.
And you don't eat anything that's not unwrapped.
Yes.
Like anything, like if they were giving you, you know, sometimes you'd see people giving out popcorn
in
their
it.
Own little sandwich bags.
Yep. Couldn't do it.
No.
Nope.
Yes, exactly.
Yep, that's where all that panic came from in like 1992 and 1 when I was in elementary school.
Yes.
Everybody had
thrown out anything that was not wrapped.
Yes.
Yep, for sure.
Oh, gosh.
It's crazy.
That was crazy.
Top five.
So we might be re-recording the second half of this episode.
Let's just take a minute to be like, all right, let's really tell everybody what happened and why we're having technical difficulties, because we keep it real.
Sorry for the mid-episode interruption, but we had sort of a catastrophic upload failure and lost half of our original episode, so we are now having to go back and re-record the second half of this episode.
Episodes are ranking 10 through 6 was recorded last night.
Yes.
And here we go with our top 5.
Yes. And and our next is number 5, which is Dr. Michael Swango.
007.
007 is right.
AKA Creepster.
And when we were initially recording, Devin had said the funniest thing. Basically, she was like, I only ever think of 00 Swango when there is someone in the healthcare field that is just acting kind of weird, kind of creepy, and just gives you those vibes.
Well,
because that's,
I think,
like, what this guy was about.
I think when you and I are having like slang and whatnot, this is probably the one that we talk about the most, that we like bring up. Like, dude, that one's giving us Swango vibes for sure.
Yeah, like, and that's just become a part of our vocabulary. So Dr. Michael Swango was a guy
that's
part of
our day-to-day lives.
He kind of is. He has like just inserted himself and his likeness into our vocabulary. And he was a guy who kind of skated by through medical school, was just, he weirded everybody out. He just had a weird approach, very socially awkward guy, could never really like make that person-to-person connection. And just everybody who encountered him was like, yeah, there's something really off with this guy. And so he
not sure what it is.
He went to medical school and he kept like failing at the internship and residency level and just could never make it to like that full-fledged physicianship. So he like would get kicked out of this internship, went for general surgery, got let go from that. He then ended up in a psychiatry residency. Essentially, the criminal piece is that he defrauded these schools and gave them fake papers and fake transcripts and led them to believe that he was this like shining student. And a lot of that was completely false.
It was lies.
And second of all, he like just casually was working as a paramedic on an ambulance service and just like brought poisoned iced tea and donuts in one
day.
And tried to poison his coworkers, and they all got violently ill. Wow.
And he was a wicked like crisis chaser. Like,
yeah, loved it. Wicked. Loved adrenaline. And the death book, dude.
A scrapbook.
Oh my God. That was so weird. So he had this like scrapbook of just like newspaper clippings and magazine clippings that talked about like horrible accidents, fires, mass casualty incidents. He loved carnage and death and destruction and gore. And that was like his favorite thing in the world. It just the very weirdest, creepiest guy. And I'm pretty sure it was like an international manhunt at the end. And he was caught by like Interpol.
Like a long time later. Like he was, I feel like this one, when we said it, like he was like gone for a while when I was pissed.
He was. Thinking that,
yeah.
He was. He almost got, he literally almost did skirt this. And, I'm pretty sure when they like searched his apartment, he had like books on books on books of like poisonous compounds, biochemical warfare, and just like instructions on how to make all these horrible concoctions that could kill a person. And he was actually pretty terrifying, like really, like truly.
It's awful.
He's a wild man. He's a wild man.
All right. Next up.
Number four, baby.
Number four is the Memorial Medical Center Hurricane Katrina.
I loved this episode for the weight and the heaviness and the impact that it had on me learning about this as like a healthcare giver, because I've never been in a situation like that. I mean, I've been through some shit, but nothing like that.
There was so much weight to this that it was just absolutely like really hard to put yourself into that situation. You know what I mean?
Can't even come close. Can't even come close.
Absolutely not. Like, so for those of you like, so this, it was during Hurricane Katrina, no power, no generators, no foods was being rationed. And I mean, they're here for what, a week? This went on for like 8 days or something. So with no generators, batteries are now dwindling down to all your medical devices. Supplies are dwindling. Food is gone. You're in New Orleans in early September. The heat is just astronomical. Humidity.
It's like 120 degrees in these buildings where there are still patients. Yeah, the HVAC systems are down. The generators that are on like the base, like first and second floors that are now flooded, they finally kick out. And it's like there are still hundreds of patients and healthcare workers trapped, literally trapped in these buildings. And I mean, these healthcare workers would be working. I mean, because they can't leave. So it's like, I might as well work and help where I can and sleep in shifts, and batteries are dying. It's pitch black in there and people are dying and they're just sitting there in the heat because there's nothing else anybody can do. And like, I cannot think of
and
a
so
worse
those
scenario.
Are the, those are the conditions, but it really made it onto the show and I think made such an impact because of the discussions that they had on whether or not on this one particular unit, were discussions actually had or not about euthanizing their patients.
My God,
because
how
they were
awful.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the patients, without a doubt, were suffering, as were the healthcare workers. But there was allegedly these conversations on whether or not this one doctor, what was her name?
Dr. Anna Pau or Anna Poo, I think. One of those. Yeah.
And you and I remember like going back and forth like, ugh, like we just, number one, we've said you can't play God. We both know that like if this was true and they were euthanized and whatnot, like
it's murder.
It's murder. It's murder,
yes.
For sure.
Yes.
But also like you don't know, like you and I, we had these conversations of just like when you're tested to a certain limit, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Right.
It brought a lot of discussion.
What we would do. Because
there was
these
a lot of
people,
discussion around it.
Exactly. They were having a very high level and philosophical discussion, mostly because these people were dying of heat and starvation and dehydration because they were running out of supplies. They didn't have power and they didn't have any clue how long they would be trapped in there. And these people were suffering and the thought with the staff there was that, you know, these people are going to die anyway. You know, should we do something to ease their suffering? And whether or not that actually happened is unclear. We don't know. And there was a whole trial. She was cleared of all actual charges because there wasn't any evidence to support, really, that she or any of her cohorts had carried out any of those acts. But the fact that the discussion had to be had is, if that's all that happened, is horrific enough. Because for the scenario, I mean, was just heartbreaking. It was awful.
All right. That one was heavy. That one was heavy.
Speaking of a scenario that's awful, segue to number three.
This one. Whew. Go ahead.
This is Lucy Letby. And we covered this. I mean, it's still a fairly recent case. But
I feel like we covered it at least 2 years ago.
We did. And it was while the trial was underway. It actually had like sort of just started. So we
and I remember this was one of our first few episodes that we did remotely, because yes. I remember being horrified. And I have this visual of sitting on my living room floor. I forget I had this weird setup for when we had to do remote. I'd be plugged in somewhere. But absolutely. I remember sitting there and like, just having my heads in my hand as you're telling these gruesome details, going, make it stop. Yeah. Like, I couldn't. It was awful.
Yeah, it was awful. The worst. And so if you're not familiar, it has been like an international headline, and I think most people know the gist, but Lucy Letby was a NICU nurse from the UK who was sort of at the center of this investigation because there were an overwhelming amount of NICU babies that were dying under her care, or that was what was alleged. And there was a whole big investigation. The trial took months. It was months and months and months. It was, I think, 6 months or more. And the outcome was that she was convicted of murdering, I'm not sure the actual final count. I think it was 6 or 7 babies that they had convicted her of murdering. And the twist was that when we did an update on headlines not that long ago, is that she
this
had
blew my mind.
I know. It
this
blew,
blew
mine
my
too.
Mind.
They had done a appeal, and an independent group of experts from, I mean, completely different country, had absolutely no skin in the game whatsoever, or so they say, were doing an independent review of every single medical record, every patient that was there during that time. It was a very exhaustive process. And they had concluded that there was actually not sufficient evidence to tie Lucy directly to these tragedies, to these deaths, and that any and all of them really could have been explained by natural causes, medical equipment malfunctions, and, you know, unforeseen complications that all necessarily didn't necessarily have anything to do with Lucy at all. So there's more to come on this.
Yeah, I mean, this is one that you and I, like we said, not that I want to hear what these horrific things happened to the babies and whatnot, but I just, you know, if it really is true, and if she was to happen to win the appeal and things come out, like, I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm still like, if she's found not guilty on appeal, I'm going to be like, what, how? Like,
I know.
I still have just a shock factor to it. But hey, due process. And
that's right.
It's definitely going to be one where it's like, all right, we're going to have to like redo it, give you the whole facts of like what we knew at the time. And then just like, what's, you know, a two-parter as far as like what's going on now, you know, again, because it's just.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a case.
I mean, I guess that's why, people have the right to appeal. But I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just like, where were these people the first time? You know?
I know. It's hard to know, you know, exactly who's right and who's wrong, because just like in the medical system, you know, is this a matter of just differing opinions? Because that we get that a lot in medicine, too. And you know, it's hard to say where this will land from a legal standpoint, but the legal system is not infallible. So sometimes a conviction doesn't mean somebody actually did the thing that they were convicted of, which is sad and scary.
It's just sad
about, but that's the truth.
We live by isn't until innocent until proven guilty. So,
right. And sometimes people are proven guilty and they didn't actually do it. So it's crazy. It can be crazy.
Yeah. Ugh. What an adventure.
I know.
That is something. All right. Number two, this one.
Okay. This is my favorite. I can't believe it got usurped from number one. I'm still very shocked.
I mean, I can believe it, but I can't believe it. So
I can't.
For those that are sitting here like, what is it? What is it? And then there's other people like, okay, it's Carl Tanzler, the infamous.
Obviously, it's Carl Tanzler, you guys. Who else could it be?
So I think it's very shocking that this was not number one, because this is probably the most like that we like bring up as far as like trauma related. Yeah. And to me personally, not to, you know. My
God, however, I know. It's just the absurdity of what happened and how it is horrific to think about, but also so absurd that it's almost cartoonish and it doesn't sound real. Like, you know what I mean?
I am still shocked that I have not come down into your basement to a cardboard-sized cutout of Carl Tanzler sitting in my chair.
Not yet. So, it's happening. It's coming.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see about that.
I've just got to find a photo of him with enough freaking pixels that will let me enlarge it.
For a brief recap of the absurdity of this guy, he was a radiology technician from the 1920s in Florida.
Yep, Zephyr Hills, Florida, I believe. Yeah.
Fell in love after having this vision of this beautiful woman. He fell in love with a patient who happened to be dying of tuberculosis. And there was no saving her. And upon her passing, he decided to take her body. He took her after being buried in what we believe might be an original red radio flyer wagon. We're not quite sure.
It can be nothing else.
I remember you were tired, and I was like, what, like a radio flyer? Like, what? And this is part of just the absurdity, because you're just picturing this poor deceased woman in this wagon, and he's just taking her home.
Yeah, and just abusing her corpse for a really long time.
Thankfully, there are laws against this now, and I think this was this one. It was so early on that it was the most shocking for me as far as...
Sure.
Disbelief. No, there's no way that actually happened. And it really was the first story of its kind that we talked about, right? So he essentially kept her as like his pet lover.
Yeah.
His home for 7 years. Seven years.
Worked and really hard on preserving her body, or trying to preserve her body.
I mean, there's really only so much you can do when a body is decomposing. And for that long of a time, he used all of this like mortician's wax.
Yes.
To try to just keep, this side's drooping a little bit. We're going to get some wax to put it back up.
Yep.
There's potential evidence of her being mutilated in the genital area. So it's unclear whether or not that there was sexual relations, but that is what it's potentially believed to have happened.
He had made some modifications that indicated, I mean, for no other reason would he have done that, truthfully. Right. So that's the hypothesis, although that's not been confirmed.
Yeah. So this story was just, it was alarming. And still to this day, when we're talking on shows, I mean, I'm sure there's maybe someone out there knows like how many times we've exactly like brought up Carl Tanzler over the years, because I'm sure it's a doozy number.
He's a recurring theme. And if you have skipped the early stuff, you've done the right thing. But if you must go back and listen to one early episode, please, if you can get past the very distractingly awful audio and our very cringy banter, please let it be Carl Tanzler, if for no other reason, just to listen to Devin's reactions, because they're just a beautiful moment.
That after 7 years, he thought, I'm still like dumbfounded that he thought flowers was just going to cover up the smell of decomposition.
Oh, yeah. Just,
I mean,
filled his house with lilies and hydrangeas and called it a fucking
florals,
day.
All these florals. Yep. It's fine. No, it's just like chrysanthemums that are.
It's just my bleeding hearts, baby.
Yes.
My God, it's my snapdragons. Sorry, I'll stop.
I think, you know, when we get to what the number one episode was, it's not surprising because it's just, that one is just as shocking. But I, you know, holy hell, what a tough choice that was.
That was, and God, you guys actually, like, talk about Michael Swango loving gore and carnage. You guys love gore and carnage for voting these two to the top.
And I loved, right, and I loved that they surprised us with a number one. You know what I mean? Because you and I have had our number one, and it's been Carl for years. So the fact that they could surprise us, I loved that even more.
Me too. So that without made further it all the more enjoyable.
Without further ado.
So, drum roll. We have, drum roll, Return to Nature Funeral Home. Return to Nature Funeral Home. So, this one was a gnarly episode, and it is still unbelievable and awful. And so, this was also another fairly recent, the worst stuff is like somewhat recent, which is shocking, actually.
Makes us wonder what's the heck's going on with the world, which we're not
going to
go there.
I know, the fuck's going on? So basically, this couple from Colorado owned this funeral home called Return to Nature Funeral Home, excuse me. And they advertised that they were providing more eco-friendly burials. So they would do cremations and also burials in like those sort of eco-friendly capsules as opposed to, you know, your traditional coffins and things like that. So people would, you know, pass on, and then their loved ones would pay this funeral home to take care of their remains and hopefully get, you know, buried or cremated accordingly, and they would receive the remains. And what was actually happening is that they would take the remains, store them in a unventilated, unrefrigerated warehouse.
Absolutely insane. And we're talking floor to ceiling. That's the number.
It was over 100, over 100 bodies. And they pocketed the money.
I remember you describing like the investigators when they would walk into this warehouse and they couldn't move, right? Because it was that full of just bags of bodies.
Yeah. There was no refrigeration. There were bodies on bodies on bodies, and there were insects. There were buckets catching decomposition fluid.
I can't even. I'm just like, whoa. Like,
so shocking.
I think when we did this originally last night, I kind of used the analogy of like when I was taking care of my son's backpack and his water had leaked. And
yes,
you know,
exactly,
and like
it was like
the dripping coming out, you know, of the corner or whatever. Yeah. That's exactly what was happening with each freaking bag that was there.
Yes,
just the abuse that they did. Well, and the neglect that they did to these corpses.
And what the owners would do is that they would pocket the money and not take care of the bodies at all. And they would just store them in this warehouse to rot. And they took the money and went on lavish vacations. They went gambling. They bought two brand new vehicles for themselves. They bought all kinds of like nice dinners and stuff out in Vegas and just like absolutely had a field day with the money and didn't actually take care of the remains. And a lot of this went on for a while, and they would just bury like either nothing and give people like directions to a plot that their loved one was supposedly buried at, or even worse, would give them what families thought were cremation remains. And it turned out they were passing out little baggies of concrete mix, dry concrete mix.
Yeah, absolutely insane. So,
some evil bullshit right there. Like, that is fucking evil.
And this is still, there was something about them that was recently in the headlines too.
Yeah, the trial is still happening. There are still charges that are out there that are completely open and unresolved. And we'll bring you more when there is more on a headlines update, because I'm not going to let this shit die.
That's crazy.
There were people out there just telling the stories of, you know, their loved ones who ended up just, you know, rotting in this warehouse like an old discarded piece of furniture when they were human beings with lives and loved ones and families and children. And, you know, one of them was, I think I'm remembering that there was like a 21-year-old veteran whose remains were identified.
And
his mom, you know, has gone public and has been lobbying for these people to face accountability, and just recalled that, you know, I cannot rest now because like of how I know that my baby's remains were treated. And his, like, literally, this is gruesome, but what she had said was that rats were eating his face. Like, that is like something you do not want to remember and know about your poor
worst
baby
of the worst. Worst of the
worst. Yeah, the worst of the worst. So there's, you guys picked a good reason, one. You know what?
There is a reason you guys voted it. This as number one, for sure.
This is the one. Sure. This is the one that usurped Carl Tandler. We get it.
I can't thank you guys enough for putting in these votes to help come up with our list of top 10 from our 100 episodes. Like, it's just absolutely amazing. Kate and I never in a million years thought we would get this far. And here we are. And, you know, we apologize for being late with whatever happened to the second half of this episode. And I was trying to make Kate feel better when we were discussing, you know, the frustrations with the audio. And I said, listen, there's been one other time where we lost the whole episode and we had to record the whole damn thing. And that was Howard Schneider, the dentist. And I didn't want to have to redo that because he was awful. But anyway,
that was so bad.
And so this is really only the second time in 100 episodes that we've had to re-record. And this was only a half.
You're right.
So we still an A+. It's 98.5% accuracy that we do not lose something.
That's
right. So
that's so true. You're so right.
We have to state the facts here.
We do. We got to stay.
Listen, but this is dedication. This is dedication. This is who we are. You guys have shown us so much support that we're going to continue to show you the love and bring you what you want. And we're now going to bring it to you weekly.
Weekly.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy.
I love you guys.
So once again, for the 100th time, thank you for listening, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Hope you enjoyed the recap. And we're going to close out season 4 soon and over the next couple of months. So if you want to check us out, you can search for us on Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast.
You can find us on YouTube by searching Med Crimes Podcast.
You can search for us on Instagram at Med Crimes Podcast.
If you wish to become a Patreon, you can join us at www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast.
You can send us any of your crazy stories, ideas, suggestions, anything you want us to talk about on the season 4 close of Break Room Banter at medcrimes@gmail.com.
For the 100th time, please stay safe out there.
Bye.